Let's read together Hosea chapter 11. In this chapter, we have a summary of God's past, present, and future dealings with his people Israel. It has plenty of application for all of God's people today. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of the chapter. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, that is, as the prophets called the people, as they called them, so they went from them. That is, the people went away from what the prophets were saying. So they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Let's begin our study of this chapter of Hosea with some background notes. In about 1051 BC, the United Kingdom of Israel was formed and was ruled by three kings in turn: Saul, David, and Solomon. Each of these kings had a 40-year reign. Kind of makes it easy to remember, right? 40, 40, 40, 120 years. That's what we say and walk through the Bible. So in about 931 BC, after the reign of King Solomon, the United Kingdom of Israel divided into two kingdoms: the Northern Kingdom of Israel, which was also called Ephraim, and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. The capital city of the Northern Kingdom was Samaria, and the capital city of the Southern Kingdom of Judah was still Jerusalem. Hosea's ministry was primarily directed to the Northern Kingdom of Israel, where Hosea lived. But his ministry did extend down to the Southern Kingdom of Judah. Look at verse 12, for example. Hosea 11, verse 12. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One, who is faithful. We see from this verse that the Northern Kingdom of Israel had already totally departed from the Lord by the time of Hosea's ministry in the 8th century BC. However, the Southern Kingdom of Judah still had a sizable godly remnant that was following the Lord and participating in worship of the Lord at his temple in Jerusalem. Now keep in mind that this faithful remnant in Judah was comprised of believers from all 12 tribes, not just Jews from the tribe of Judah. You see, after the United Kingdom divided into the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, godly believers from the north migrated south in order to continue the worship of the Lord at his temple in Jerusalem. I'm reading about this migration in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16. And after the Levites left, that is, left the Northern Kingdom to migrate south, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. 2 Chronicles 11:16. The godly from the north continued to migrate south periodically, especially during times of revival in the south. Furthermore, archaeological evidence confirms that during King Hezekiah's time, when the Northern Kingdom fell to the Assyrians, Hezekiah expanded the city of Jerusalem to accommodate those from the northern 10 tribes that made their way south to the Southern Kingdom of Judah. Now, these are important points to keep in mind because it means that the Jews who later went into captivity in Babylon and returned 70 years after that represented all 12 tribes of Israel. It further means that the Jews today represent all 12 tribes, not just the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. There are no lost tribes of Israel. And it means that the regathered Israel, predicted in the second half of this chapter, Hosea 11, will be comprised of Hebrew believers representing all 12 tribes. More we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Hosea chapter 11. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: God was gentle with his called out people. God was gentle with his called out people. What a beautiful picture we have here in verses 1 through 4 that we just read of the tenderness and patience of the Lord in dealing with his people Israel. He called them out of slavery in Egypt and called Israel my son, verse 1. As a loving parent teaches a young child to walk, so God patiently and tenderly established Israel. Verse 3. How many of you here this morning remember when your child or grandchild took his or her first steps? A tender moment, right? That's what's being brought out here, there in verse 3. I taught Ephraim to walk. The Lord healed them and took care of them in the wilderness. He fed them with manna, even on the day that they made and bowed down to the golden calf. God made the yoke very light for Israel because he loved them, verse 4. And yet Israel did not respond in love to the Lord. Rather, they went and sacrificed to the Baal idols, verse 2. Let me ask you this morning, what is our response to God's gentle and gracious care? All of us here this morning must admit that God has been very gentle and gracious with us, right? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a believer. Think of how God has taken care of you and provided for you and given you health and strength. More than that, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. As verse 4 says, God is drawing you to himself with gentle cords of love. Why not respond to his gentle love today? Why not admit you're a sinner? Admit that you need salvation. Receive Christ today and become a believer. And believers here this morning, we are God's called out people. How often do you thank the Lord for his gentle care? Let's not fail here as ancient Israel failed. God was gentle with his called out people. Doctrinal point number 2. God is disciplining his willful people. God is disciplining his willful people. Verses 5 through 7. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be their king, because they refuse to repent, and the sword shall slash their cities, devour his districts, and consume them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. God would have to punish and discipline his people because of their willful and rebellious ways. Any deal they tried to make with Egypt would be to no avail. They would be conquered by the Assyrians. Verse 5. Because of their backsliding and hypocrisy, Israel would experience the Assyrian sword. Verses 6 and 7. This was God's discipline of his people. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 says that God used Assyria as his rod of anger to discipline Israel. You know, this is Israel's position today. They are still willful and trusting in themselves. They still refuse to acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. So they are still under God's discipline. God will always discipline his willful children, and that applies to us today as believers. Why? Because God loves his people. God loves us. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 6, that God disciplines those he loves. Are you under God's discipline right now? Maybe for a willful spirit? So whether it be Israel or individual believers, God disciplines his willful people. Doctrinal point number 3. God will regather his scattered people. God will regather his scattered people. Verses 8 through 11. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Here's the good news, the return of Israel in the future. Although God would have to discipline his people, he was not going to eliminate them. He would regather them. God's heart of love for his people is certainly seen here in verse 8, isn't it? How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. Admah and Zeboim were two of the cities of the plain destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah. The regathering of Israel that's predicted here is not the return from the Babylonian captivity, because verse 10 says that they will return from the west. West from Israel. West from Israel is Europe and the United States. Not until modern times have Jews ever returned to Israel from the west. Notice also from verse 10 that there will be a spiritual return to the Lord. Verse 10, once again, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. The lion is already beginning to roar, but there's much more to come. God will regather his scattered people. Now, what about practical application from Hosea chapter 11? Allow for the fuller meaning of Scripture. Allow for the fuller meaning of Scripture. Now, this is really a principle for interpreting Scripture, and it's very important to know for proper application. Go back to verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. When Hosea wrote this scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was thinking of the exodus of Israel out of Egypt. But Matthew quotes this scripture in reference to Christ. I'm reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. When he, that is Joseph, arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and here comes a quote from Hosea chapter 11, out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew 2, 14 and 15. So what's the answer here? Does Hosea 11, verse 1 refer to Israel's exodus out of Egypt, or does it refer to the return of the Lord Jesus from Egypt as a child? Answer, both. This is what is known as the fuller meaning of Scripture. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew sees a fuller meaning to the text of Hosea 11:1. So allow for the fuller meaning of Scripture. The danger here, of course, is that we begin to read into Scripture meanings that are our own imagination or of our own doing and interpretations that the Holy Spirit did not intend. We are not inspired writers as Matthew was. So we need to be careful in our biblical interpretation as we allow for the fuller meaning of Scripture.